on the line with us, the brilliant Eagle Insider, who did an awesome job yesterday hosting the rally after the parade, Mr. Dave Spadaro. How you doing, David?
I am on cloud nine, man. I'm on cloud 52. It's been the greatest week of my life.
Dave, let's go back to the final second of the Super Bowl itself. I know how long you waited for this. Your body outlasted your hair. But let me just say, Dave, when it finally happened, when the ball hit the ground, what did you experience? What was that like for you?
I was in the auxiliary press box. I jumped very unprofessionally. I jumped up and down. I had started writing stream of consciousness after the Zach Ertz touchdown. So I finished writing my story, and then I ran down to the field. And as I'm running down to the field, a lot of things crossed my mind. I mean, tears, you know, the people who are no longer with me, who love the Eagles. I honestly will tell you that, you know, the great part of my career has been coming on WIP all these years, and the very friendly give and take that we've had for so many years. And I'm just glad to tell you, I've always wanted to tell you to shove it up your rear end, because you've given me so much crap over the years. And then getting on the field, I made sure that I didn't do any work. I was done working, and I really just wanted to stand there and just soak it all in. And so the whole week, I've been trying to do that as much as possible. I've been trying to slow it down, breathe it all in, absorb it. There's so many layers of joy that it's unlike everybody else. It's indescribable. It means everything.
Hey, Dave, before we get to the rally itself and how brilliantly that came out, how many people do you think were at the entire parade yesterday?
I mean, I can't count that high, but, you know, we got on the float at Lincoln Financial Field, and it was wall-to-wall people all the way. I was in the float not because of anything big, but because we were doing a broadcast with Doug and with Jeffrey and Carson and Nick and et cetera and Howie. And everybody kept talking about how it just kept getting louder and louder and louder. And like you, they kept passing the Lombardi Trophy around.
Yep.
Because every time you raised the Lombardi Trophy, people went absolutely nuts. It was like being at Lincoln Financial Field times 300 every quarter mile. So I have no idea how they estimated. I know that it was packed. Every time you looked, there were more people. The fans were hanging out of windows. They were on rooftops. And everybody was wearing green. It was the most remarkable thing I've ever seen. And as I daydreamed about it for 30 years, it lived up to and beyond any expectation I ever had.
Well, let me just say, Dave, for future reference, I did a very scientific study of it. It's 3.2 million, just in case you need that.
All I know is that when I left my place at, 6:30 in the morning, whatever it was, 6:40 in the morning, there were a lot of people already walking down to the Art Museum area. Everybody who could get there, with the exception of a couple people who had some ticket problems with, like, Greyhound in Wilmington, they were able to get there. People overselling the trips. I mean, if the avenue to get here had been any easier, there would have been more people.
All right, now, Dave, you were a part of the actual arrangement of the rally at the end. So there were two rumors that we were hearing before it, and I want to know if there was anything behind the rumors. One was, at some point, Sylvester Stallone was going to appear on the top step of the art museum. Never happened?
Never a consideration. He's not an Eagles fan. He's part of Philadelphia, but he's not an Eagles fan.
Oh, okay. And the other one was Chase Utley, because he had done, as it turned out, Kelsey topped him anyway. But was there any thought of even just playing what he said at the Phillies rally 10 years ago?
No, I never heard any of that. This was all about the Eagles and the fans and the partnership that and I've heard you guys throughout the year, the extraordinary – unique relationship that this team forged with the fan base. It was never like this in the early 2000s. Mm-mm. It's never been like this in the 30 years that I've been here, and I'm not sure how.
No, I agree with Dave. The bond here is like nothing I experienced in the 28 years I've been doing this. So tell me, who decided the speaker list?
It was very open, and there were a long list of names, and the team approached players and said, are you interested in doing it? And there were actually players that we crossed off as we went through the ceremony, because they just felt like they didn't want to speak, or they weren't really in condition to speak, or they just felt like it wasn't their place.
Right.
The list was much longer, but, you know, it was Doug, it was the marketing department, it was Don Smolenski, it was Jeffrey, everybody, and anybody who really had a chance to speak was given that opportunity.
Great. All right. So here's the thing, though. So before I get to the pièce de résistance, uh-huh. the highlight of it with Kelsey, I couldn't get, Dave, I couldn't get over this. I don't know if you react the way I was. There was a long period of time where Howie Roseman had tons of critics. Tons of critics.
Oh, yeah.
And Howie comes out, and the crowd embraces him. Listen to this.
It wasn't too long ago that the Eagles were a team in transition. And since then, excellent drafting, shrewd moves in free agency, deft wheeling and dealing. And here the Eagles are as the champions of the world. Responsible for that, please welcome Howie Roseman.
Philly, is this what heaven's like? This is the best city in the world, with the best fans in the world, and now we have the world championship. Get used to it. Let's go.
Dave, not in a million years did I think anything like that would ever happen. Honestly, I mean, that was shocking. What was it to you?
Give Howie credit. I've noticed it all year that when we go on the road or Howie walk, usually when Howie walked around, the reception wasn't nearly as warm. And, you know, that's kind of part of being in the business. But give the man credit. He reinvented himself. He has done a great job building this roster, and he deserves all that credit. He put great people around him, Joe Douglas, Andy Weidel, that staff, and Howie. I mean, look, if you're ever down in your life, and you ever put into a corner, shoved into a corner by a bully boss, this is how you respond. You don't pout. You make yourself better. And that's what Howie did, how he made himself better. He spent that year studying other teams, studying other ways to do it, working on his own, rededicating himself to his craft, taking a breather, and he's come back, and he's hit on virtually every move. It's been masterful.
Now, Dave, the other thing that I really loved is that it's so easy when you win the Super Bowl to only look at the guys who are on the roster at the very, very end. But you guys went out of your way to acknowledge contributors who got hurt along the way, including Jason Peters, Chris Maragos, and Carson Wentz. Did they want to speak, or were they urged to speak because they represented a big part of what had happened, too, even though they weren't there at the very end?
Yeah, they were given the opportunity to, and Jordan Hicks was also on that list and declined.
Okay.
But honestly, they were team captains, and they were part of the leadership of this locker room. They were the reason, even though they were hurt. A lot of times when guys get hurt, Angelo, they stayed away.
Yep.
All of those players stayed. They did their workouts in the morning. They stayed through meetings. They helped counsel the other players. They were instrumental, even though they weren't on the field. And I give credit for that to Doug. Doug is... I mean, talk about somebody coming a long way in 2 years, how Doug has integrated everyone and felt his message of ownership throughout the locker room. Those guys were as big a part of it as anybody else and will be moving forward.
Absolutely. Did you have, Dave, did you have any inkling whatsoever that Jason Kelce was going to do what he did at that rally?
Well, we all met at 8 a.m., and when I saw Jason walk into the Torque Club at the stadium with a Mummers outfit, I knew something was going on, because he's a brilliant guy. Like, his brain is just really brilliant. I did not have any idea, however, that he was going to go on the most epic rant in the history of parades. In fact, at one point, you know, because he started cursing a little bit,
I picked that up. Yes, I did that.
And somebody said, well, Dave, maybe you just want to kind of pull his cape a little bit, pull the back of his, and I'm like, no way am I getting near the guy. This is brilliant.
Yep.
But it was going through the roster like that was it was like the madman rant of genius. It was incredible. The laughter behind him when he was going, you know, Lane Johnson can't get off the juice. Yep. Nigel Bradham can't catch. I mean, everybody was cracking up. It was great.
It really was. Dave, it did not appear he had any notes. He did that right off the cuff.
No. No, none.
It's amazing.
As crazy as my throat is, I can't imagine that man could speak today. His voice was busted. No, Jason went up there and stream of consciousness, because even when he referenced the first F-bomb, it came out of Jay Ajayi, who was standing right next to him. I mean, it was a brilliant rant.
Absolutely was. It's the most amazing thing we've ever seen. Not just at a parade. I've never seen a speech like that.
Exactly.
Never.
It was incredible.
All right, Dave, one more. You waited a long time for this. Did the reality of what happened over the last week match your dream?
Yes. Yes. And we'll continue, Angelo, because I'm calling it the seven stages of celebrating an Eagles Super Bowl win. And the seventh stage will be the ring ceremony at Lincoln Financial Field, the opening game of the 2018 season, which will be the most incredible experience when they, wherever they put the banner, however they acknowledge the world championship, the Super Bowl championship at Lincoln Financial Field, that will be the final stage. Until then, it just keeps building and building and building. I see when I got back here, when we got back from Minnesota and landed at the airport and saw all the fans and then got the police escort to NovaCare and saw all of 95 backed up, and the people didn't give a crap. They got out of their cars wearing Eagles jerseys and cheering. And the hundreds and hundreds of people who were at NovaCare, it really, really hit home how much it means to everyone. And I know that, but it reinforced how much it means to everyone. So it has lived up to and beyond, and it's an incredible feeling. And, Angelo, the Eagles are Super Bowl champions. And in Dallas, well, please, why don't you send a bus to that draft, Angelo?
Yeah, I might.
With the 32nd pick in the 2018 draft, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles select.
It's not going to play well.
It's the best throwback at Drew Pearson ever. Yeah.
It's going to be. Dave, for you and the Eagles organization, all of you, you stuck the landing, too. It was a great day yesterday.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was the biggest moment of my career. I really thank you.
You stuck the landing, Dave. You're the MVP, you and Kelce. Good job, Dave.
Kelce's the MVP. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
By the way, Al.
Yes.
Is it?